Well, please take a seat. As Rob was guiding you through the notices there, he forgot the most important notice, the men's breakfast. You remembered the women's breakfast, but he forgot the men's breakfast on the 12th of March at 8:30. If you'd like to go, there's a sign-up sheet there. Men, sign-up sheet. Well, a couple of weeks ago, a number of people said on the door that I was a bit too serious. They thought that I might put you in detention or something like that. So not so serious. After a church service, little Jimmy said to the vicar, "Vicar, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." "Well, thank you, little Jimmy. That's very kind of you," replied the vicar. "But why are you going to give me some money, Jimmy?" "Well, vicar, it's because my dad says that you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." Enough. Thanksgiving Sunday today. And we've got absolutely loads, haven't we, to be thankful for in Poynton, in our church here at St. George's and up at St. Martin's. People who come into our buildings make comments about how wonderful they are. The numbers of families coming to our church. The children's work. The groups using our halls. The work here and at St. Martin's growing. We've got loads, haven't we? Absolutely loads to thank God for here at St. George's and St. Martin's. Let's pray. Father God, it's good to be here. It's good to worship you. It's good to be involved in your work here at St. George's, St. Martin's, and in Poynton community. Father, we just pray that you would direct our thoughts aright this morning by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've just heard David's prayer in 1 Chronicles there, chapter 29. It's a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. So let's have a look at that. It's on page 427 of the church Bibles there. So you might want to turn that up. And when you read David's prayer, you think, this sounds a bit familiar. But actually, I'm not quite sure where. It's because parts of this prayer are used in our liturgy week by week. And there's echoes of the Lord's Prayer in there as well, isn't there? The background to this prayer is just before our reading, verses 1 to 9. And there's a huge celebration for all the resources which have been given by the people, Israel, in order to build the temple at Jerusalem. And David leads the call to the people to give to this project. And what he does is he provides a model of leadership by the way he conducts himself, by his sacrificial giving. And that's not just from the state treasuries. It's from his own bank account. His gold, his silver, his bronze, his iron, precious stones in verses 3 to 5. And the people respond generously as well, following David's lead. And there's more than enough to build this new temple to the glory of God. And he starts his prayer very familiarly in verse 10, the second part of verse 10. Can you see it? "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever." They're jubilant. They're jubilant because they're able to build this brand new temple. But how does David pray? haven't we done well raising all this? Didn't we have a good fundraising campaign? And then lots of backslapping? Not at all. He blesses the Lord, which means praises God. Verse 11, yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory and majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Can you see that small word that keeps cropping up in these verses? Up to verse 19, all, nine times. All heaven and earth is yours. You are exalted as head above all. You rule over all, because everything, riches, etc., come from you. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and give strength to all. He's our great God who deserves our praise, because all that we have comes from him. Do you, like me, take so much for granted? Everything from health to house. Do we recognize that it's all a gift from the Lord? His grace to us. Verse 14b, for all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? God is the one who supplies all our needs, and we now acknowledge that it's all from him. And today, Thanksgiving Sunday, is the day we thank God. It's the time annually where we not only give thanks, but we evaluate what we give, our giving. And as you came in, Rob mentioned the two sheets. One's a financial giving sheet and the other's a form. Let's have a look at the financial giving sheet, shall we? On the front there you can see there's five areas. Five areas of ongoing work in our churches. Our future plans. And if you flip it open, you'll see that on the left-hand side there, there are those five areas in a little more detail. I'll just nip through them really quickly. So the first thing we want to do is provide a new youth worker. We're looking for a suitable full-time youth and children's worker. And in fact, interviews will be next month. We want our youth and children's work to grow and develop under good oversight, along with the school's work, and that costs. It's a full-time post. Second there, we're just really delighted that the PCC have appointed Sarah Williams as our families worker, working with preschool, primary schools and families. And it's a great opportunity to renew our vision as a parish and build upon the strengths that we already have in that age group. And Sarah's salary is the same as she was on as a youth worker. And so the new youth worker, now full-time, means that there's greater cost implication for us as a parish. Thirdly, We want to be an outward-looking church, seeking to support the needy in our community and neighbouring churches too. The Beeson Project has reached a critical stage where we need that extra church and an extra member on the core team, so please pray for that. And there will be cost implications as we get started. And we're grateful for everything that's going here. We want to support other churches too. And Woodford are looking to plant a new congregation there on the new estate, on the airfield. And we want to seek to support them in that plant. Fourthly, we're proposing to send £10,000 to South Sudan refugees to support them. They're, you don't hear about it that much in the press, but it's desperate there. And we as a church would like to support them and help them. And finally, number five there, we're looking to buy a small house, to house a youth worker. And we don't want to jeopardise getting a youth worker because of housing. House prices in Poynton, as you know, are really expensive. So it'd be good if we have a place where we can house the youth worker and maybe, time for God if we have somebody like Hannah again. So five really good areas for development, which all have cost implications. And I hope that you think that those things are worth giving towards as we seek to proclaim the good news of Jesus to more people. On the other side there is a summary of the main areas of expenditure. Now, it doesn't take an accountant to see that the most significant costs are clergy, buildings, and increased staff costs. But what we do with all the monies that are given to us is we tithe them so that we can give to others. And lastly, we've been really encouraged by phase two and the commitment and generous giving of many, many folk to that. But it's not the end. We have some phase three potentials listed, which might include some of the following: upgrading our seating for the choir to fit in with the rest of the seating that we have here. The possibility of some form of room in the prayer area with maybe glass. A servery and toilets to improve our facilities here in church, particularly as we have lots of people coming in to our church now. And our gradual ongoing improvements, which go on all the time really, upgrading our computer system here in church and screens for better sight lines. So if you like the look of any of those five areas or the potential phase three, then would you prayerfully consider how you might give to God's work here? There's a response form on the back of our sheet, and there's bank forms on the other sheet too. Thank you so much for your generous and sacrificial giving over the past year. Over the past years, it's made a huge difference. So thank you. It's worth remembering that we're about God's work and that He's number one and not us. And so we trust Him for all our needs. We're going to move back to the passage now just for a minute. As we look through that passage, can you see the huge accumulation of descriptive words for God? Greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty. Yours is the kingdom. Your head, riches, honour, might, strength. And then in the light of God's preeminence in all things, David says this in verse 14, "But who am I?" Who am I, Lord, that you would do all this for me, for us? It's all of you. All from you. All grace. I don't deserve it. What a contrast to the world, which says, I did it my way. I do deserve it, or you're worth it. But look also at what David says. He doesn't belittle a people's generous giving by saying, oh, well, you know, it's all from God. You know, it wasn't yours anyway, so you didn't really give much. No. He says there in verse 14, I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. They're giving. The people's giving and David's giving is a reflection of their love for God. Freely and joyously. And that should be ours too. And David finishes his prayer with a request. It's typical David in verses 18 to 19. You know, he doesn't pray for power and victory and riches or the establishment of his son, Solomon's kingdom. No, can you see it there at the end of verse 18? Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct the hearts toward you. Grant to my son Solomon that with single mind he may keep your commandments, your decrees, your statutes, performing all of them. Keep in relationship with the Lord, says David. Stay close to him. People and king, walk with God. Life's about relationships, isn't it? Our life is to be lived in relationship with the Lord our God, our Father. That's the important thing that David prays. And this came home to us quite strongly, really. Helen's father died about six, seven weeks ago now. And we've been sorting out his house. And we knew he liked photography, but didn't realise how much. There are literally thousands of slides. They're innumerable. And I've been sorting and scanning some of those slides. But you know, it's not the stunning wildlife photographs that he took. It's not the beautiful landscapes. It's not the macros of those vibrant coloured flowers or the butterflies that he took. It's the ones of people. They're the ones that are fantastic. They're the ones we're keeping. They're the ones I'm scanning. You know, a duck's a duck. A 50-year gap and it's still a duck. Those hills haven't changed. I can go out and see the exact same view. It's people. It's our lives. It's our relationships which count. Those we love. We're made for relationship with God and with others. To be in a right relationship with God and others. And Jesus enables that. It's the place where God and man meet is the cross. That's where the relationship starts. So on Thanksgiving Sunday, let's praise our great God for all he's done for us in Jesus. For all he's done here in Poynton Parish. For all he's provided. Pray that we'll respond to his love generously and joyfully. But above all, that we will love him and walk with him and develop our relationship with the Lord daily. Will you? Will I? Will we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God?